This is BPNRadio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. A member of the Breakout Prayer Network. Let's pray, America.
Hey, this is Dale Gentry welcoming you to another classic interview here on BPNRadio.com. For over 3 years, I've had many special guests here on BPNRadio.com. So during the following hour, we're going to replay one of those great interviews. Please remember that the following interview has been pre-recorded and may include some dated content. However, well, you're going to be blessed by another one of our special classic interviews here on BPNRadio.com. So, it's good to have Cash Matthews here. Welcome, Cash Matthews, the man with the radio voice.
Thank you, Dale. Good morning, everybody. And very excited and happy and honored to be here. Thank you for having me on.
You are welcome. Not too many, don't have very many guests that come in live in my studio. So, I'm thankful you're taking time out of your busy schedule to come and talk to us about money. And I know that I have a lot of questions. Talk to me about Money University, how you got started. I know that you've told me that even as a boy you got started in money situations. So give us a little background.
Well, my background, just, you know, as an adult now, I look back and I recall at age 8 making a proclamation that I was not going to live the way my parents did. And that really got me on a path to figuring out what for me was a better way to live. And age of 14, I sought help from a friend of mine's father who was quite wealthy, and he taught me a little bit about investing. And so I've actually been investing for, I'm 56, so I guess that would be 42 years. I've been a student of investing. I got involved in the financial business at the age of 20, happened to wait on a guy. I was a waiter. And waited on a fellow that got me into the business, which was just joyful to me. I found my path. Mm-hmm. And the Money University concept really began germinating in my brain at the age of 30. And, you know, as you look around as an adult, you see that people make the same mistakes over and over and over. And I just thought in my brain, somehow, if we could write these mistakes down and write down what people might be doing incorrectly, and also carve out some space to share what people are doing correctly, that might make good information. And I never really wanted to write a book or create a class. You know, I thought somebody else would do it. And it just occurred to me one day that it was time to write a book. And so December 9th of 2014, I began to write the book. And it really came from 30-plus years of watching people. I think you can learn, you know, way more by watching and listening to people. And so Money University, the book, is it's just a culmination. It's a look back on the lives of, you know, over 1,000 people that I had worked with at that point, and how they did things right, how they did things wrong. And, you know, in third grade, it's against the rules to copy off of other people. But as an adult, it's okay. It's emulation. And we could emulate some of these people. And Money University is just a very simple read that talks about a simple way to live financially.
Well, I know I've spent some personal time with you, and you were on Marketplace Saturday with my son, Rick Ginger, and I was amazed at your insight concerning finances. And I know that such an important aspect of our lives. So talk to me about what you see happening in today's economy, and some of the major concerns concerning people's finances.
You know, 36 years of just talking to people about money continuously, 7 or 8 times a day I visit with people, and there are some unique problems in our country, and I believe that, you know, whatever dark force you call it, I just call him the devil. The divisiveness in the financial world is one of the easiest tools to keep people from a fulfilled life. And in this life, we need more fun and freedom and fulfillment, but we get behind this money dark cloud. And Money University was an attempt just to begin an educational conversation with everybody. You know, our country is in a mess, and the government did not cause it. And that's been one of, you know, I think self-responsibility is lacking, you know, in this country. The numbers are staggering, Dale. When we look at how many people retire, how many people are in debt during their life, how many people have money worry and money misery, more importantly, the times in my world where I've seen money break up or damage a relationship, and it really doesn't have to do that. But it's just not taught anywhere, personal money finance, and you know, a lot of people think we need to teach kids to balance a checkbook. Nobody carries a checkbook anymore, but you know, the country is in debt. I'll give you a couple of examples, you know, that strike out to me. You know, the average person that retires around the age of 65 to 67 is living on an amount of money that our government calls the poverty line. About 70% of the adults live at or near the poverty line, and that's bad enough in itself, but the worst part is it didn't have to be that way. And they're living in poverty despite having made millions in their lifetime. And if you think about the average family, even if they're making, I don't know, $70,000 a year as a family for 40 years, that's $2.8 million. I was reading a magazine recently, The Atlantic Magazine, and it told us that 48% of the adults in this country over the age of 25, 48%, could not rub together $400 in cash in an emergency, that they would have to resort to credit. So we just have this financial malaise of living paycheck to paycheck, buy everything now, and I think there are some ways to change that and not give up the quality of your life. So the retirement thing really bothers me. The debt thing really bothers me. You know, I know that giving is down around the churches in this country. And it's hard for people to give when, you know, they're giving money to Visa and the IRS first. You know, I think our country's in a tax problem. We're coming out of April. Well, we call it April 15th. The tax date this year was April 17th. And here's a statistic, Dale, that just makes me want to knock on all 70 million doors in this country and ask everybody to wake up, America. This year in North America, there will be about 56 million income tax returns filed. Approximately 49 million of them will have a refund of $3,100 back to the family. Here's what that means. That may sound good and feel good, but in this country, that's a bad idea to loan money to the government for a year at 0% interest. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons our families are hurting. They're overpaying a bill that is not due just to get the money back later. And then maybe to catch up on all of the behindness that they have because they were loaning money in the first place. Mm-hmm. So we're lending money to the government. I think that needs to stop. If you're hearing this voice today, you know, I would tell you, go find a competent tax person to help you navigate the tax world. When you take the word the and IRS and put it together, it spells theirs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're allowed to arrange our taxes. The Supreme Court has ruled that we can arrange our taxes in such a way as to pay as low amount as possible as long as it's legal. And I don't think most people understand, you know, how to legally manage their taxes. And so a lot of people talk about tax preparation. I think we ought to have a national conversation about tax planning, and that'd be great for the American family.
Well, that is very interesting, and I know there's probably some major questions. Since you, this is your field of money, and I know that if I was to ask people, what would you like to ask Cash Matthews? I believe they would say, how do I get out of debt?
Absolutely. That's one of the big ones. And let me take a minute, and I'll give you what I believe is the right answer. I've helped numerous people get out of debt, but that isn't the issue. The issue is to stay out of debt. Mm-hmm. And the way to stay out of debt is to first fix the causative agent of getting into debt. Here's why we go into debt. We have a moment or an emergency or an event that we need money for that we don't have. The right way to get out of debt, this is my opinion and this is my observation over 36 years, is to first start a savings account. In my book, I call it Save a Large Gob of Cash. Other Christian financial guys will tell you, get out of debt first. And I'll say emphatically, I completely disagree with that. If we get out of debt first and then have another emergency without an ample amount of cash nearby, then we're going to go right back into debt. The first way to get out of debt, the first thing to do is to start saving some money. If you're listening today, take a dollar, put it in a jar. Then tomorrow, make your bed, put another dollar in. Create good behavior. We don't eliminate a bad situation by average behavior. We have to eliminate that by excellent behavior. And what would it be like if the average listener over the course of the next 2 or 3 years saved $4,000 or $5,000 or $10,000 or $20,000? Man, wouldn't that be something? And then getting out of debt becomes easy to do once it's paid off. We're never going back into debt. And I've met so many people that get out of debt, they go into debt. They get out of debt, they get into debt. And Dale, that's because they never fixed the reason they got into debt in the first place. And that is they did not save a large gob of cash. And that's my challenge to people is, look, put some money away. Mm-hmm. You're spending $300-$400 a month on your cell phone and internet and pizza. You know, we don't have a money problem as much as we have a priority problem. And that's where self-responsibility comes in. If you're spending $300 a month on cable, internet, and TV and your cell phone, and you're not saving an equal amount for yourself, that's good news because it means you are the problem. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the government's not the problem, the economy's not the problem, just the decisions you make on a daily basis. We call that the slight edge. Mm-hmm. You know, people make slight errors in judgment. I got very heavy at one point in my life, but I'd only gained 2 pounds a year since high school, but you do that for 40 years and you're 80 pounds overweight. And we make these slight errors in judgment on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. And those are the errors that sneak up on people. They hit 40, 45, 50, and they're like, man, I don't have any money saved, and I've got debts, and how am I going to put little Johnny through college? And, you know, so I believe this all begins, the debt question, Dale, begins with saving money. Most people say, I'll get out of debt, or the phrase we use is as soon as, or in Oklahoma we would say fixin' to. So I'm fixing to get out of debt, and then I'll start mm-hmm. saving money. Mm-hmm. But I promise you, the other way around works the best in my experience.
But how can we get out of debt if our outgo is more than our income? How can we do that?
Well, that's a hard question. If your outgo is more than your income, you either have to go to the court and ask them to forgive you, or you have to make more money. And I would start with not getting a tax refund. That'll put, you know, for the average refund person, we'll put $260 a month right back into your budget. You know, make sure you're taking the right tax deductions. Mm-hmm. You know, man, something I learned, this is just a little trick, I've learned how to lower your cell phone bill. I've got 5 phones that are what most people pay for, you know, 1 or 2 phones, mm-hmm. and you're allowed to call the company up and, you know, I'll just give you this little tip over the radio. If you'll call your cell phone company today and ask for the customer cancellation department, not customer service, and tell them you're going to leave, unless they lower the bill, there's $20, $30, $50 a month for the average family. And, man, those Sprint and AT&T and whoever else is out there, they hate me. And I wear that as a badge of honor. I help people lower their cell phone bill. Maybe it's time to cut out cable TV. Maybe it's time to quit eating. I mean, if you can't pay your monthly bills right now and a good chunk of it's debt, mm-hmm. it's time to take serious action. Yeah. I'd get a part-time job. I'd sell stuff on Craigslist or eBay, that's where it's time to step up. We're called to work 6 days a week, mm-hmm. and 6 half days is about 72 hours a week. That's my ethic, mm-hmm. and you know, we've taken it too easy on ourselves. So yeah, we may have to step our game up a little bit and make a little bit more money.
But what about the people that they're spending most of their income on credit card, the percentage of credit cards that are up like 25-28%. What do people do about that?
Well,
trying to get out of debt.
Yeah, that's tragic. And I meet those people every day, and there's not always an easy answer. I would literally look at every single place where money is going. If you cannot make your bills, then maybe you suspend your 401k payments for a little while. Definitely cancel cable and internet and take a brown bag to work. We have to manage the spending at that point. You definitely don't want to be lending money to the government at 0% while paying Visa 25%. And I see people do that frequently. I've got clients who try to pay their mortgage down early, and those mortgages are at 3% and 4% mm-hmm. while they're racking up 25% on credit cards. I would stop the overpayments on your mortgage. Mm-hmm. I would kick your adult kids out of the house. Sorry, I know that's offensive. I catch a lot of grief over that, but You know what? God gave you this life. He mm-hmm. gave you this moment. He gave you your attributes. And it's okay for you to take care of you. You know, when you're on an airplane, they tell the adults, hey, if the little airbags come down, take care of you first and the children second. And mm-hmm. I believe that's an excellent order in which to do that.
I know that you talk a lot about some principles that that I think are very important. And the first principle that I wrote down that you gave last time you were on was a clear vision. What do you mean about clear vision?
Well, you know, God says where there is no vision, the people perish. And that's a larger type statement, I believe, than personal finance. But, you know, having a vision, first, of just how you want your life to be. You know, do you want to own a house? Do you want to be debt-free? How do you want to take care of your charitable ideas? Are you a giver? Do you want your spouse to work? Do you want your kids to go to public or private school? Do you want to homeschool your kids? What kind of vacations do you want to take? Really, ordering from the menu of life that's available. You know, God gave us a phenomenal imagination. Mm-hmm. I also believe he gave us the facilities to accommodate that in an appropriate way. So, you know, having a vision of what you want in your life, you wouldn't just go into a restaurant and say, give me some food. So in the restaurant of life, you go order what you want. How do you want to live your life? And, you know, I think that's the most important thing. I always knew I didn't want my wife to work. That was big for me. I wanted her to be home and be with my children. And mm-hmm. and we homeschool our children. Mm-hmm. I'm 56 with a 9-year-old at home. So God continues to bless me in my old age.
Yeah.
And you know, I just wanted this kind of lifestyle, and it's okay to ask for what you want in your heart. God gave you these secret petitions in your heart, and it's okay to ask for them. So that's the vision mm-hmm. piece. You know, when do you want to retire? Do you really want to travel? Do you want to do mission work? And it's okay to ask for those things.
Well, I know it's important, Cash, to there's a biblical principle that says, write the vision down, make it plain. One translation says, write it on a billboard so that people can read it. You can read it, especially you and your family. I think having a clear vision, a plan, is very, very important. Because I know there's a lot of people that come down to retirement age, and because they've not planned maybe appropriately, then they do not have the funds to live out their days. So I know that some people are just not planning properly, have not put away savings or cash. Or is it too late to ever start, Cash?
It is never too late to start. You know, more and more people are living to 100 today, Dale. Mm-hmm. You know, National Geographic reported that a baby born today could live to age 121. And they put that on the cover of their magazine. So if you're 65, could you imagine that you might only be halfway done? So that's a little hard for us to grasp. But, you know, in 1900, the average person died by the age of 46.
Yeah.
If we told the people of 1900, hey, we're living to 70 and 80, that would just be hard for them to believe.
Mm-hmm.
But with medical advances and, you know, the world is eating a whole lot less chicken fried butter sticks, so we're living longer and having better lives, but the ability to pay for them has been limited to some degree.
Yeah. So, well, that's great. It's never too late to start over. I know that you've talked about, last time you were on, you talked about irreversible mistakes. What are you talking about when we say irreversible mistakes?
Well, Dale, that's a big one. You know, we go through this world and we have this thought process, especially when we're younger, that we're going to be here forever. But the second point in my book is to prevent irreversible mistakes, and one of those deals with getting your will taken care of. Yet today in America, about 70% of the adults over the age of 18 don't have a will put together, medical power of attorneys, durable power of attorneys, directive to physicians. We need to adult up and, you know, fix those things. You know, your will is the last love letter that you get to write your family. It's really the last thing you get to say to them. And so many people don't have that taken care of. And you know, find an attorney or figure out a way to get that done. There's a lot of ways to do it, and I know a few. other irreversible mistakes come in the world of life insurance. You know, the average life insurance payout in America is embarrassing, so I won't even say it. And we work some in the insurance world, but, you know, you need about 20 times your income to protect your family. You know, if you're making 50 grand a year, you'd want to leave your life, your spouse $1 million at your early demise so that your spouse could fulfill what's in step one, the vision, without having to go back to work or whatever. And, you know, $1 million in the bank, maybe your spouse and family could take out that 50 grand a year for some time frame and, you know, have a good jump start on reclaiming their life. But people buy the wrong kind of life insurance, pay too much for it, don't buy the right amount. And, you know, those are irreversible mistakes. Once they've gone by, you can't fix them. Mm-hmm. Over the course of a lifetime, overpaying your taxes for the 40 years that you work or 30 years you work doesn't seem like much, but from small seeds do great oak trees grow. It's those small seeds, and man, we're making enough to get through. We just have to do the right thing with it. So these irreversible mistakes, I've seen it many, many times, and somebody leaves this earth too early and leaves a mess. Mm-hmm. And those are the things we fight against. But wouldn't everybody feel great if they knew they had their will taken care of and the right amount of insurance for their family? Those are the things we can fix. Those are fixable.
Mm-hmm. I wonder, Cash, what the percentage is of Americans that do not have their houses in order as far as their life insurance, their income tax, their will, the power of attorney, their retirement or savings. I guess it would be mind-boggling if we really knew. You might know.
Well, I believe that number is well over 70%. Just based on, you know, I have literally spoken to, I guess even with radio and TV, hundreds of thousands of people, but seen personally thousands of people and spoken at many seminars in front of thousands of people. And the conversations that I hear over and over and over and over for 3.5 decades are that very few have their stuff organized. And if you're listening and you're blessed and it's going well for you, man, I want to salute you. I want to say God bless you, and that is awesome. But I'll also tell you that, you know, I like the concept of being debt-free at some point in life, but I believe there are lots of kinds of debt. And if you're out there in the world and you're doing great, you know, there are other debts we can pay. We can pay, you know, the debt to our pastors who are out there leading the way, or to our veterans mm-hmm. who are out there, you know, giving us a safe path to go create this. And I'm not, you know, indicating we should have the government involved. I think we should have them less involved. But we can take that wealth. If you're doing well, let's go do something great with it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like BPNradio.com.
Yeah.
You know, let's support this a little better so that we can continue to grow prayer around the world. And those are the kind of debts that we like to pay after we're, you know, well off, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Dale, 70% or so of the people are struggling right now. And here's what I know. 100% of the people have the right, have the ability, and have the wherewithal to get it completely right. I believe in everybody. I've never believed that God has ever made any junk whatsoever. And if you're listening to this, man, God does love you. We all have these opinions of ourselves. We usually talk worse to ourselves than we would to anybody else. And if I could just encourage one person today to go, hey, you know what? It may be a struggle, and you may not know how it's going to work out to your positive, but it will. God doesn't make any junk, and you just have to get on the right path. It may be a career change or adding some education. Often in my life, to go to the next level, I've had to leave a few relationships behind. You know, sometimes the people are dragging you down, and that's a real thing, or mm-hmm. your family has oppressed you. So, you know, I'm an encourager. This is a great country we live in. I've traveled the world, and I'll tell you, this is the best place in the world to be. And God truly did bless America. I love being here, and seeing too many people struggle when they do not have to.
Yeah.
It keeps me up at night.
Yeah. Well, you know, I compare you, Cash Matthews, to a baseball manager. You know, I love baseball. I used to be a high school play-by-play baseball sportscaster. I did Johnny Bench, the Hall of Famer. I did his first play-by-play when he was in high school in Binger, Oklahoma.
I know that.
And so you know, it's amazing what a manager does. Now, a manager gives oversight to the entire staff. There's a first base coach, there's a catching coach, there's a pitching coach, second base coach, third base coach. Then they have all of these different hitting coach, but there's one manager that gives oversight to the entire team and coaching staff. I believe from my perspective, Cash, so many people make a mistake by just hiring a first base coach to deal with the income tax portion of their finances, or the giving portion, or maybe retirement or what have you. But you're like a manager, that you give oversight to all of these different aspects of money managing from the very beginning to the very end. And I think that's very important to have a man like you in our lives that can look at the entire perspective. And I think that's where you are invaluable to people that desire to have your services.
Dale, I appreciate you using the baseball analogy, and you're exactly correct. I'm a lifelong disappointed Baltimore Orioles fan, so and a big fan of Johnny Bench. That's cool that you got to do that. Mm-hmm. And that's a great analogy. The analogy I've used is I'm an alarm clock without a snooze button, and I'm just trying to wake America up right now. But, you know, you do need somebody in your life. We liken that to the at-home appendectomy. And sometimes in your life, you just need a professional that's walked down the road in front of you mm-hmm. a little bit. And, you know, find somebody in your world that you trust and, you know, that's demonstrated that they want to put the people first. And, you know, we do that. We advise, you know, we have a realtor that we, you know, are able to give real estate advice through. And we have a couple of mortgage people because a mortgage is a big instrument for most people. And we refer people out to qualified tax planners. And, you know, if you're in the small business world, I love to work with small business owners and advise them on just how to grow their business. We run an event called the Austin Business Summit you can find that on Facebook, and just to teach entrepreneurs for free how to run your business and, you know, how to take the next step in business. And often that's one of the things that people are looking for, more and more entrepreneurs today than ever before.
That's great. I want to remind everybody that you're listening to The Wednesday Watch here on VPNRadio.com with Cash Matthews, the founder of Money University and the Solomon Group, a man who's been very successful for over 30 years in helping people get out of debt, saving money on their taxes, setting up retirement accounts, the author of Financial Meatloaf and other books. He's been helpful to a lot of people. It's good to have him on today, and I know also that he's a man of prayer. In a little while, we're going to be praying over your finances, but I have some more questions for Cash Matthews and how you can get in contact with him. But first of all, we're going to take a station break. We'll be right back.
This is BPNRadio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. A member of the Breakout Prayer Network. Let's pray, America.
Hi, this is Ian Kieber, reminding you to join us for Marketplace Saturdays. Marketplace Saturdays is full of information, motivation, inspiration, and business tips that will help you grow in whatever field you come from. Now, whether you're a small business owner or an employee looking to grow and learn more, Marketplace Saturday is for you. Join Rick Gentry, the host of Marketplace Saturdays, from 8 a.m. to midnight Central Standard Time, where you can learn from the best. Marketplace Saturdays, where leaders go to grow.
That's good to have you listening here on BPNRadio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Dale Gentry here, live from our studios in Austin, Texas, now in our fourth year of broadcasting. Don't forget, we're going to have a special day of prayer. We pray every day here on BPNRadio.com. But National Day of Prayer coming up in May. It's going to be a very special day on BPNRadio.com. Wow, great to have you listening in today. And it's great having Cash Matthews in our studio here talking about money. And everybody interested in that, he's got some invaluable counsel for us and insight So it's good to have Cash Matthews. Stay tuned here, VPNradio.com. Don't forget, the news follows this program. Roy Beard is on with a word from the wall at 11:55. And Forest Hill Trinity Christian Center is on at noon with a corporate prayer time. Callie Hargraves with Warrior Women Watch, 1 o'clock, 7 o'clock. And we continue on throughout the day. Cash, good to have you today. Tell the people how they can contact you.
I'm easy to find. Facebook, Cash Matthews. Facebook, multiple places on Facebook. Money University on Facebook. And if you would just message me individually on Facebook, that's really the best way. Cash Matthews, Matthews with two T's. Easy to find. But Money University is, we have a Facebook presence. The website outside of Facebook is SolomonWay.com, all O's in Solomon, SolomonWay.com. They can call our office, 522-4849, 512 area code, 522-4849. And love to talk to people and just share with them what I've noticed over the last 36 years.
Wow. And I know that people can get your a lot of information on your website, your Facebook page, Cash Matthews, M-A-T-T-H-E-W-S, Cash Matthews. And you might want to give that phone number one more time.
Yeah, let's do that. Area code's 512 here in Austin, 512-522-4849. And you can hit zero, and one of our folks would be happy to bring us together somehow. And Dale, I'd like to do something, you know, if you don't mind, if anybody listening would just pick up the shipping and handling. It's about $5 to mail out a book, but I would love to mail Money University to any of your listeners for free. It's normally $20 on Amazon, but to support your ministry, if we could just get them to do it for the shipping, I'll pay for the book. If they'll send us $5 for the shipping and they would just message us, you know, probably an email would work for that, cash@solomonway.com, cash@solomonway.com. Happy to send out a free book to anybody just for the cost of the shipping.
Okay, so cash@solomonway.com.
Yeah, and we can repeat that in a minute. That way, okay. People driving right now,
okay.
However.
Well, it's good to have you on and the opportunity to be able to share, have you share some incredible insights that all of us, regardless of our age, need. Because in one way or another, we're all in some type of business. I know that even our ministry, of course, is a business. And I really appreciate the principles that you have been giving us. And talk to us again about the emergency fund. How do we start emergency fund, and how much should we contribute to that emergency fund?
Well, the way to start is just take a dollar right now, put it in a jar, and look at that jar and swear you're not going to touch it. And what we're doing there is creating a habit of saving. It's not the dollar that's important; it's the habit you're creating. And you know, the emergency fund, in my opinion, should be 6 to 12 months of your bills in case you're laid off or sick or the refrigerator in the car break down or the kids need braces or any of those things. They're all legitimate expenses. They're all normal, but we just are paying for them in an abnormal way. So, you know, if you're making $4,000 or $5,000 a month, nothing wrong with having $30,000 put away that you can get to. You know, I like to, I tell people carry a little bit of cash on them so they don't have to use the Visa card. You know, it's more convenient to use a debit card, but, you know, I think 6 months to a year, and that's very personal for some people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like having an emergency fund, and we call it the large gob of cash. It's nice to be able to get to a few bucks and not have to ask Visa permission to take care of your children.
Well, I've had a man on my program several times, Rodney Howard Brown, who's recently come out with a book calling The Killing of Uncle Sam, The Demise of the United States of America Concerning Our Finances. How do we prepare, and I know we don't like to think about this, but how do we prepare for a financial collapse in America? If that were to happen, how would we prepare for it now?
Well, I think you would first have to look back, you know, to the last financial collapse, which I don't believe that 2008 characterized that, but back in the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of doomsayers that we're going to have a financial collapse and we should go to the gold standard or the Bitcoin standard. And I am an optimistic guy. And, you know, a lot of that, I think the best way to prepare for it is the way you prepare for anything. One step at a time. Save a dollar. Save some cash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you believe that you should save bullion, then, man, get after it. Save some gold. Save some silver. That's not my advice. You know, in a country like America, the last financial collapse that causes people to look forward to the next financial collapse, safeguards are in place. And the way we do things today is very, very different than the way it was in the 30s. And, you know, I would get out of debt. I would save as much money because there is a financial collapse that happens to 7 out of 10 people. It's called retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a real financial collapse. And, you know, I tell people, and I've tried to scream from the top of the mountain, you know, hey, save 20% of your money. And if you're over 30, you need to be saving 20% of what you make. And people say, oh, gosh, that's such a great amount of money. And here is, just think about this for a minute. If you can't live on 80% of your money today, how will you live on 30% of your money later?
Mm-hmm.
That is a financial collapse. That's the one I want to prepare for. And for most people, it has become a certainty. That's the one I want to prepare for, that we might have an economic meltdown of the government. You know, that I honestly can't speak to that in any term with any predictability. So I would say, hey, God started this and God is going to end it. And what you do in between is your life. Mm-hmm. And I believe he's sovereign. I believe that America is on the way up. I really believe that. I believe America is getting better. I believe we're getting stronger. I believe Washington will always be ugly. But we've got to become the president of our own home. We've got to become the congressman of our own children.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to make policies inside our family that do what we're asking the government to do.
That is wisdom. I've been noticing in the news, where so many restaurants, particularly those that cater to the millennials, are no longer accepting cash, and that of course that's been in the news this week. Are we heading toward a cashless society very soon? What do you think?
Well, I haven't been to any of those restaurants, and I eat out substantially. You know, I suppose that could happen, but there are billions and billions and billions of dollars of cash that trade every day.
Mm-hmm.
There are other markets like Craigslist and the Facebook marketplace where dollars change hands.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the dollar will still be here because it is a medium of exchange. You can hand somebody $100 and know that you're going to get $100 back. Obviously, we're using more electronic money with debit cards and Visa cards, etc.
Mm-hmm. What about gold, silver, bitcoins? Have you got any insight, recommendations there?
Well, if I talk negatively or positively about Bitcoin, I'll get flooded with negative and positive emails, so I'm going to let that one slide. When they start taking it, I just think it's got a ways to go. As far as saving gold and silver, so often people come to me and say, Cash, the dollar is falling, the dollar is worthless, and you should buy gold. And I'm like, cool, okay. Now, and so I do this little imaginary thing. I grab my cell phone and a pen, and I say, this pen here is my little cheese grater, and my cell phone is my big gold bar, and I'm going to go to Starbucks and get me a latte. How much do I scrape off? You know, is it one scrape of gold or is it two? And they go, oh, no, that's not how it works. What you do is you go sell your gold bar and get some dollars. And then mm-hmm. I reply, well, I can't do that. You told me they were worthless. And the conversation usually ends right about there. You know, that's a tough one. I mean, everybody has a great opinion on it. Here's mine. My wealthiest clients don't do that.
Okay.
You know, they buy real estate and they save money. They have cash on hand. And, you know, I've got a few wealthy clients that collect coins. They collect memorabilia type stuff. Numismatics, love that. I think that's fun. Been collecting coins since I was a kid. Love to find and buy coins.
Mm-hmm.
But as a monetary exchange, The dollar is a medium of exchange. Mm-hmm. I'll give you know what $100 is worth, and you have a value on your thing you're selling, and you know what $100 is worth, but we don't know what the price of gold is. 7 or 8 years ago, it was $1,900 an ounce, and the gold sellers were out all over the radio. They pretty much stopped talking when it fell 45% down to $1,200 an ounce.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have the gold sellers walk me through $1,900 an ounce gold falling to $1,200. As a medium of exchange, I'm not for it. As a medium of exchange, I'm for the dollar, and dollar-based, you know, the Visa card system seems to be working just fine.
Well, what do you mean about investing in the harvest, planting seeds today for harvest tomorrow? What do you mean by that?
Well, Dale, for your listeners, today is the 5-year anniversary. And think about it for a second. I don't know if any of you realize what the anniversary of today is. It's a very special day today here, April 18th, I believe. Today is the 5-year anniversary of exactly 5 years ago. And my curiosity is, what did you plant 5 years ago that you might harvest today? And honestly, dollars grow over time and invested properly, and this is not a pitch to invest, but it is just about saving money for the long term, putting money away today so that you can have it 20 years from now. And, you know, if you're 40 years old listening, what I'm trying to do is to get 70-year-old you to visit with you now. And what advice would 70-year-old you or 80-year-old you give you? What advice would you give you?
Mm-hmm.
And there's enough wisdom in that for each person. Each person is awesome, and they know what to do. So the harvest is something we can live off of from the day we choose to retire based on our vision. You know, maybe we want to retire at 60, and we have a life expectancy of 100.
Mm-hmm.
That means we have to live for 40 years on our savings. The 40 years is the harvest, and, you know, where we're living on retirement accounts and savings and Social Security, and I'm one that does believe Social Security will be here in some form. They keep messing with it a little bit, but I believe it will be here. So the harvest is that time when you're living life on your terms, when you're working how and where and when and if you want to, and doing the things with your family that you want to, mm-hmm. and you just have to have the money to do it.
What do you say to people that have invested most of their lives and their income through giving to the kingdom, through the giving of 10% or 20% or 30%? They have not experienced a major harvest as of yet. What about people and their giving to the kingdom, giving to the church, giving to ministries?
Well, it's not what I would say to them. I think God one day will look at them and say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And that should trump all of it. But to those people who've been giving, you know, we're also called to take care of ourselves. Consider the way of the ant, you sluggard. And that's one of my favorites, and that one is my wake-up call for me, mm-hmm. That we are to think about our future. You know, God takes care of us, but God has given us these resources. God has given us these jobs, these talents, this ability to go make money, and we are to save some of it for the future.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree, of course, I'm a strong believer in the principle of sowing and reaping, and I know that's very, very important. But I like the principle of the ant. It tells us to go look at the ant and see what they do.
Amen.
And you know, if you just go and look at an anthill very long, you'll get some incredible insight to that. So what about people that may be facing what we might describe as old age, and you know, they may have Social Security, they may have a little bit of retirement, but they don't have enough money. If something was to happen to them critically, they do not have the finances for care. I'm not sure what you call that, but people that are concerned about if something was to drastically happen to my life, I could no longer care for myself, and I don't have the resources. What do you say to this people group?
Well, Dale, this is the coming wave. This is the coming problem. Today in America, 1 in 4 people past the age of 70 live their last 2.5 years in assisted living care, you know, at a tremendous cost. My own mother-in-law spent 10 years, you know, in assisted living, and with my wife being her primary caregiver. And, you know, it's first, it's going to be a call to the family. And while this is terrible, I believe it will restore some families where the children come in and help the parents. That's what I'm seeing happening today, where we call it the baby boom trap. Mm-hmm. There's 80 million people, my age group, 54 to 65 or 70 right now, and 10,000 people a day turn 65, and that's going to continue for the next 20 or so years. So this problem, this moment you speak of, I believe it is the most significant problem facing America over the next 20 years. Medicare is not going to take care of long-term care. Medicaid, I mean, it will take care of some, but I promise you, if you've seen what we call a Medicaid bed in a facility, that is not what you want. But to go live a life, if you are unprepared and not facing a major health crisis, you know, there's still time to start an outside career, start a job, start a business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I believe in entrepreneurship. One of my favorite people who was a mentor to me early in the game, did not start her career till she was 59, was a housewife and had a marriage breakup. And so in her 60s, she began a career in the financial industry and died a few years ago at the age of, I believe, 88, worth almost $100 million. So, you know, that all happened at a time that most people would consider older. And I don't know. I think it's time for America to wake up, take control. And if you're in that situation, number one, you have to recognize it. Number two, collaborate with somebody who can help you navigate. The tax world is very important past 65 or during retirement. There are some things that you can do. You know, out there in the reverse mortgage world, I've heard a lot going on out there. And in deferring your property taxes, there's a lot that can be done. And you want to talk to a professional about those things, but there are answers.
Yeah.
And sometimes the answer is, man, this is terrible. We've got to get your family involved.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're giving us a lot of great counsel. You know, there is there's a supernatural aspect to giving, where we believe the seed that we've sown, because we know and believe in the law of sowing and reaping, will certainly, will certainly happen. But there's also a natural aspect of that, and that is looking at our finances and doing some planning. I have a friend of mine years ago who wrote a book entitled Help Me Make It Till Friday. And there's a lot of people that they live like that, just enough money to get by to the next paycheck. Help me make it till Friday so that I can get paid, get a pizza, pay my bills, and start the next Monday helping us make it till Friday. So I guess so many people live in a crisis mode, and we're trying to reach out to particularly to all of these people that they would not live in that type of situation. And so any closing counsel you might have, including young couples just starting out, and then I want you to share any additional counsel, insight you might have, and Cash, then I want you to pray, and we'll close out with letting people know how they can get in touch with you again.
I appreciate that.
The microphone is yours.
All right. Well, you know, first I want to say again, I appreciate what you do. You've given your time, your talents, your money to promote the kingdom and to promote this radio show. And it's not just the money that you put into it, but, you know, I admire the time and the diligence that you spend in doing this. And I hold you up as a great example of how to do things right with your time. And I admire it. And, you know, I'm very blessed and honored to meet you and be part of this. For those listening, you know, I would rather talk with you just like we're buddies and not as a financial advisor and not as, hey, here's some stock market advice. That stuff can all come later. But let me speak to your heart. Right now, there are petitions in your heart, secret petitions, things you want to do. The graveyard is full of so many great songs and cures and business ideas and poems and, you know, don't take the music with you. And I'm a believer in this concept that we call ACE, A-C-E, action cures everything. I believe you can take action. Man, if you're afraid, take action. If you're in debt, take action. If you haven't saved enough money, take action. If you've got a relationship that you want to repair, take action. Man, if you want to know Jesus better, take action. Mm-hmm. If you want to become a better student of the Bible, you got to take action. The mere act of thinking things does nothing. Education does nothing unless you apply it. We have to apply all of these blessings. God's given us all the tools that we could ever need to go live a magnificent life. Now, if you've had some accident or you have some thing holding you back, God, I pray for you. I pray for your health. I pray for your family and your well-being. But there's still a point where you've got to take action of some sort. You know, I love it when people pray. I love to pray with people about money and family and this country. But I don't like it when people pray and don't take action. See, God doesn't need to steer a parked car. That isn't necessary. And, you know, what I have, you know, and there are a lot of cliches, pray like it's up to God and work like it's up to you. And that's been my way of doing it. And anybody can move forward on the scale, whatever they're worried about. They can get out of debt. They can save a little bit of money. They can increase their income. They may have to change their education. They may have to fire a few of their friends. You know, I don't know what it's going to take, but I know this. America is a great country, and there are some people in this country that are just put upon. They wake up every morning, they put their feet on the floor, and they're like, is this all there is? Man, I want to challenge you. Go find what else is out there. Pursue your dream. Pursue something great. You know, my dad did me a favor and named me Cash. He named his two boys Cash and Carry. And that was providential. My brother is Carry. He carries people. He's a pilot. And I ended up in the financial business. And I'm so thankful for this life that, you know, that my dad, you know, helped create for me. And, yeah. And not just my earthly father, my heavenly father, to work mm-hmm. with people on this issue that can be so divisive. You know, we're told as kids we don't talk about religion or money with our friends. And I do. I want to talk about both. I don't want to talk about Jesus and money and, you know, this great country we live in. But, you know, it starts with a recognition. I've always been a believer. Read a book when I was 19 years old called Think and Grow Rich. And it just helped me really focus in on the vision part. You know, just to have a vision of what you want in your life. And I knew from the age of eight, I watched my parents fighting about money. I watched them arguing about money. I watched them go through their gyrations and really have. I grew up in the most negative environment, most of it because of money. Mm-hmm. And I knew at the age of eight, I'm not going to do it this way. I don't want to live this way. And, you know, your children are pretty smart. They watch. Your children are watching. And I, you know, still having kids at home, my children are watching and your kids are watching. And it doesn't matter, you know, what you say. It matters what you do. And if your kid sat on your lap tonight and said, Daddy, can I be anything I want to be? I think the average parent out there today would say, absolutely, sweetheart. In this country, you can be anything you want to be. But they don't believe it for themselves. They don't believe that for themselves. So I still believe. I'm a hopeless romantic. I believe in everybody. If you spit in my eye, I just think it's raining. So, you know, it is time to wake up, America. It is time to wake up. It is time to take action. It's time to take bold action. It's time to put some of those things behind you. Too many adults are dragging anchors around that they latched onto themselves in childhood, and they can't quite figure out why things aren't going well. Hey, let's cut those ropes, man. Let's set each other free. Let's get economically free. Let's have these new young marriages prosper and be wonderful and not worried about money. And there's a way to do that.
Thank you very much for your time, Cash Matthews. And I'd love for you to say a prayer for everyone that is listening today concerning their finances and all the things that we've talked about. Once again, let everybody know, before you pray, let everybody know how they can get in touch with you, Cash.
Cash Matthews, 512-522-4849. Cash at SolomonWay.com. Solomon's all O's. 512-522-4849. Cash at Solomon Way or Cash Matthews on Facebook. Love to meet all of you. Let me pray for your listeners and the country. Heavenly Father, you have brought us here to this wonderful country, and we praise you. We honor you. And we thank you. We thank you for the challenges. You tell us to consider it pure joy when we face challenges. And we say thank you for those challenges, that they might make us stronger in all that we do for the kingdom. Father, we pray for the listeners out there today, that they would find financial peace, that they would find money peace and put debt behind them and worry behind them. Father, we pray for this ministry of the BPN Radio, that they would continue to prosper and that their word would be heard the world throughout. Lord, let these words be honoring to you. And Lord, we pray for our country and just that your will would be known and that your word would be proclaimed throughout the world, and that these financial things would not be a distraction. Lord, we pray to you. You are a mighty, mighty God, and we honor you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Cash Matthews. Great to have you on today.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the Donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax-deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.
War, I confess, my hands are weary.